This is CBSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor with Malcolm Honlein Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. We're very pleased to welcome Benoit Faucon of the Wall Street Journal, writing most recently with his colleague, Iranian drones' role in Ukraine war risks deepening Tehran's rift with West. Benoit, a very good evening to you. The Iranian drones purchased by Russia to use against the people of Ukraine. The puzzle that I've seen in headlines around the news of this report, is Iran at war with Ukraine? And is that an important distinction? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. Thank you so much for having me. The short answer is no. Iran, does it see itself at least as being in war with Ukraine and sort of continuously reassuring Ukraine actually that even if it has a military cooperation with Russia, it predates the war and it has no connection to the war. So formally, yes, there is no conflict between both sides. Obviously, unofficially, if Iran assists in a very, vital way, critical way, the war effort on the Russian side against Ukraine, in some way you could argue that Iran's sort of wars, which were until now in the Middle East, are now reaching, pretty much the European Union's borders.
So what we have here is evidence that what starts in the Middle East doesn't stay in the Middle East, that the European Union is now under threat of Iranian drones. Is that a fair summary, Benoit?
You could say that. And NATO, because obviously that's that war that, Russia is carrying in Ukraine is also, in response to what it sees as NATO's encroachment. So it's both against potentially, threatening NATO and the European Union. And it's making a difference, right? The strikes that Iran's drones, have sort of carried against Ukraine have, could be a game changer, in the war.
Malcolm?
So let's try and create a sort of framework for all of this in terms of the implications for Iran. Is there an economic motivation because of the sanctions? Will the weapon sales make any significant difference? Do they fear then additional sanctions coming on them? They've been cooperating with Russia in getting out the oil inappropriately and through avoiding the sanctions. They have been supplying weapons. Do they have an ulterior agenda that parallels what we see on the surface in terms of the goals of the Iranian regime?
So there was one initial gain from the Islamic Republic of having that relationship with Russia, and that's access to affordable foodstuff. I remember the biggest inflation worldwide was not actually oil. It was first, foodstuff from Ukraine and Russia. So having access, to this supply for Iran was really a competitive advantage at the time where it was having runaway inflation of at least 50% some months. And remember in July, Iran was the biggest buyer of Russian grain worldwide. So there was a significant step up. Now, you could argue there's potentially more. Iran has wanted, air defense, jets, all the things that it struggled to develop independently, since the Shah fell in 79 from Russia for a long time. They may want to get that. And two, they're struggling to get the population under control. And Russia has done that pretty well. I mean, there were protests that were dealt with by riot police in 2019 in Russia. And that was pretty efficient and it worked. At the moment, Iran is not in that place. They're really struggling to contain the protest movement. So Russia can help.
Benoit, the simultaneity of the protests for weeks and weeks across Iran and the selling of these drones and letting us know these drones were sold and making a to-do of the drone strikes on the infrastructure, are they separate events, or is there any relationship between the threat to the regime in Tehran and the threat to the regime in Moscow and this violence?
Well, you could argue that the fact the government in Tehran doesn't make any concessions, the fact that at the same time they're deepening their relationship with Russia means they feel they can gain a life insurance by having this very powerful neighbor, you know, to help them. Now they do feel the opposite. By the way, the view in the security apparatus in Tehran is that, oh, you know, it's all magnified, you know, all the protests in Iran, you know, are magnified and condemned globally because of our, you know, relationship with Russia and especially our assistance to Russia. So they see the opposite way. They think it's kind of distorted and exaggerated because the West is unhappy about that relationship. But you could argue the opposite, right? That Iran wants to be close and remain close and help Russia because it feels Russia can help that regime stay in.
Malcolm?
Can I ask on two parts? One, just as what you were discussing before, do you think that the weapons from Iran really can turn the war or the tide of the war in Russia's favor? Are they really that significant? I know the use of the drones, but they seem to be slow and plodding and being easily shot down. I don't know about the missiles, whether they really make the difference for them. And second, on the side that you were talking about now, the internal situation, do you think that the movement will really go on for regime change now, given that the Ayatollah is old, sick, and losing even amongst his own forces, seeing an unwillingness to confront the demonstrators and the spreading base of the demonstrations?
Well, so on the first question, I mean, there was some headway made by Russia, you know, some surprise attacks, you know, very successfully initially. But like you say, there's an enormous amount of challenges if you want to ramp up that effort. One of them was as simple as, you know, some of them were shut down. Others actually were, one of them was spoofed by the Ukrainians, so they were able actually to take control and get a sample that was not, you know, not damaged. If you look forward, you know, these drones are at limit, you know, I rely on a very specific supply chain. And the one that we used in Yemen, for instance, we're using a lot of, you know, very niche technologies from the Netherlands and Germany for China, and they were disrupted. So right now, actually, they rely actually on more equipment from the U.S. typically, again, diverted, you know, both for third-party sources. Again, that could be disrupted. And the final one is their kamikaze drones. The problem with kamikaze drones is, like, every production you have is set to be destroyed very soon. So if you were not able to keep up, you can't keep it. You know, it's going to be destroyed. So that means potentially that progress that has been made could be very temporary. On the domestic situation, I would say the question at the moment look to either an increase in repression, because that's the government that has been, you know, for a very long time, very experienced and very efficient at repressing discontent. And remember, you have a crowd that, you know, is unarmed, facing, you know, a government that is armed, and he doesn't hesitate to carry violence when needed. So they tend to have been, they have been successful, you know, for the past decades, the government, in cracking down on discontent and bring back, you know, things into order. The second thing that shows insurance for them is they're not making any concessions. One reason being, obviously, that's a fundamental element of the Islamic Republic, the veil and the dress code. So in a way, if you do carry maybe even timid reforms or changes in that dress code, you may feel threatened. So the question is, could there be change in the regime and reforms? That can be ruled out. But at the moment, the power is really in the end of the government rather than the protesters.
Benoit Foucault is a reporter for the Wall Street Journal based in Europe, based in London, writing not only on the drones being sold to Russia, but also the protests in Iran ongoing. Malcolm Hohenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.